blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Today's broadcast brought to you by Alcohol the Movie, also sponsored by Alcohol the Video Game, and Shaq Fu Punch.
It sure is good.
Well, this is a very odd occasion. Didn't see this coming. Jason is not with us this week.
May he rest in peace.
Does that mean this is a canon podcast?
I don't know what this is. This is technically a blah blah podcast.
Can we use the Ouija board to contact Jason?
Unfortunately, George Lucas ate the Ouija board, and I cannot take a drink to that. Oh, it's anytime anyone mentions George Lucas, I guess.
Oh, hold on. Wait. It should be...
Before we start, why don't you say the rules?
Okay. Well, first of all...
Well, what are we doing here
Okay,
today,
first
Sean?
Of all...
What are we doing?
I am Sean Smith. Jason Green is not here. He's on assignment this week.
I'm Evan Moore.
Evan Moore is here.
And I am Chris Holshue, the Lord and Savior.
Of the Shoe Clan.
Indeed.
And we are here to do what? We are discussing Star
Pretty
Wars.
Much, we're going to talk about Star Wars for a while.
For a little
while.
And
we're going to talk about why the prequels don't work in regards to the originals, which is something that everyone has talked about.
In case you didn't already know.
Yeah.
Now, Evan, you warned us beforehand in a previous episode that we should not dive into this territory.
No, not with me. The reason why I warned you in a previous episode to not dive into this, because I knew that it would be the type of thing that would need its own podcast for me to do. So I would need some sort of forum to kind of let this all out. And I'm glad that I have Chris here with me to kind of calm me down and bring me back into the realm of sanity if this goes too far.
One time Evan lost his job at a power plant because instead of activating the coolant system, he screamed about George Lucas until there was a meltdown.
Oh. Okay, so it's when you mention George Lucas, you have to drink.
So
you drink.
I drink, and then when you mention it, you drink.
Yes.
Now what if I mention it?
Oh, then nobody drinks.
Oh, okay.
You're not drinking.
That's true.
This is established... That rules to this discussion, though?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I think we have the rules down.
Okay.
All right. So I think we could just dive right into this thing. Now, do we want to get into before episode one came out?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, let's talk about that for a while. So episode one was, I mean, realistically, the most anticipated movie ever. I can't think of any other movie that had any more hype. Any more grand marketing schemes. Pretty much it was the most important thing to the entire country at the time that it was going to be released.
What year was this?
99.
What about Y2K?
Well, we weren't...
Well, that came after.
Yeah. So did 9/11. So yeah. The only thing that was on anyone's mind...
You know, the only thing hyped more than Star Wars...
was 9/11.
Evan Moore.
Take my name off the podcast.
2015. Just put that on my quote board for the day.
Will do.
All right.
And the trailer, by the way,
one of the most widely
regarded trailers of all time.
Well, it wasn't a bad trailer. It looked really cool. It looked like Star Wars.
Kind of like The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I guess you have a good point there. The trailer for episode one was, for all intents and purposes, correct. I mean, it looked like Star Wars. It felt like Star Wars. It sounded like Star Wars. It had the right music. It had the right logo. Everyone, and nobody thought, because George Lucas...
There it is.
George Lucas was the director and the writer and the producer and had complete control of the project. And at that point, everyone thought, well, George Lucas is the god of Star Wars.
He's done it before.
He did it three times. How could this man...
Possibly blow it.
So everyone's hyped, everyone's ready to go, and, you know, the movie comes out. And it's known as one of the biggest cinematic failures of all time.
Now, you've said before, when you originally saw it back in 1999, that you liked it. You liked the movie.
I was 7 years old,
mm-hmm.
And I loved it.
Wait, okay, what was your seven-year-old opinion of Jar Jar Binks?
Oh, loved him.
Did you have any Jar Jar toys?
No, I was more into C-3PO than I was into Jar Jar.
Wow, okay. You picked an even worse character.
Ah,
I was big into Darth Maul. My little brother liked Jar Jar, but I liked Darth Maul. He was really cool.
Mm. Well, the thing with Darth Maul was all the toys, all the products, all the advertisements, everything had Darth Maul. So watching the movie, you kind of already knew who Darth Maul was. So I guess they kind of felt
you?
The need not to show him.
Are you sure?
Because everyone was like, oh, that's Darth Maul. He's an established character. We don't have to show him at all. But if you don't know any of the marketing and you see the movie, Darth Maul's not really in the movie till the end.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, he has maybe, what, three lines? And then he fights, and then he gets cut in half, and that's it.
What a waste of a character.
And that's where, to me, the biggest problem of the trilogy is in general. And I think if there's any starting point, this is where we need to start. There's no villain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, hold on. You take this cool alien with red and black face paint.
Well, we're not sure he's an alien.
He's got horns coming out of his head. That's a pretty good indicator.
He's probably an alien.
Technically,
Sean.
They're all aliens.
Or maybe he's a mutant.
Okay. Well, whatever. He's
an inhuman.
Horns and he's cool.
So this horny guy comes into Star Wars with his double-ended saber.
Uh-huh.
Something that was completely new at the time, mind you.
And he's really cool. And then he's got no lines and gets killed. And what do? They replace him with an old man.
85-year-old man.
And after the old man dies, they replace him with a robot with bronchitis.
The definition of scary.
Something is completely wrong with this trilogy. The problem is there's no villain. There's no villain in episode one because really it's just...
I would argue that the villains just get progressively worse as the story goes.
The villain's supposed to be Palpatine. All right, let's look at the opening of the original Star Wars, right? How's it open? All right, so there's a space battle. A bad guy comes on and is like, clearly the bad guy. He looks like the bad guy. He's the bad guy. He's like, I want the plans of the Death Star. Kill this guy. Tear the ship apart. Find those freaking plans. Okay? I know the whole plot of the movie. Well, how does episode one begin?
They show up at a space station. They're attacked by some droids.
No, even before that. Why do they show up to the space station?
There's a green guy with fish eyes.
Before the green guy with fish eyes.
Well, you're asking me to read the thing at the beginning, and no one ever does that.
They go to settle a trade dispute.
Yeah, well, that's the,
on a planet we've never heard of to protect people we don't care about.
Well, that's what episode one's just about. It's about a trade embargo. That's basically what it's about.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
So they show up for a trade embargo. Nothing happens. They get attacked by some roly robots. Then they land on a planet. They meet some rabbits. They go underwater and meet the underwater rabbits. Then there's a queen, and a bunch of really bad political jargon happens, and a bunch of crap happens that makes no sense.
They go to Tatooine.
Yeah, find a really bad actor.
Jabba the Hutt has a space race.
There's a really cool pod racing scene.
That was cool.
I had completely forgotten that Jabba was even... In the episode one.
I was pissed off when they put Jabba on the special edition of episode four because Jabba should have been a secret until number six.
Hmm. Well, because, I mean, but they did shoot it. I mean, he just put it in later.
I never liked the fact that they even shot because, like, they're hyping up Jabba the Hutt, and you finally see him as this disgusting, fat, greasy Italian-looking motherfucker, and you're like, all right, yeah, now that's Jabba the Hutt. Who else would Jabba the Hutt be?
Okay, so...
Pretty much episode one. Here's what happens. Okay. Episode one comes out, and it's a complete failure. Because there's no main character, and the main character, people argue, is Anakin. Anakin doesn't show up until 45 minutes in the movie.
And even that, it's like, how can you relate to this little kid who's just...
He's Jesus Christ. His mother's a virgin. Okay?
Yeah.
His mother says that she, you know, the Force conceived him.
You know why his mother's a virgin? Did you listen to the way that kid talked? She did a terrible job of raising him because she sucked.
Yeah, she did.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but earlier I was watching the Plinkett review for episode three, and Palpatine mentions in his little conversation with Anakin that he has the ability to
create life.
And he's vaguely saying, you know, I may be your father.
I'm probably your father.
Yeah.
And like, oh, God. This whole thing. All right. I'm looking at these XLR cables on the ground and I'm trying to figure out how they would be possibly untangled. And that's kind of how I feel about the plot of these fucking horrible movies.
It's like you go down one way and then, oh, there's two more I have to try to figure out. And
so,
then...
all right. So episode one comes out and it's a complete failure. And everyone knows it. I think that episode one has been analyzed so much to the point that it's almost pointless talking about why it doesn't work. Because everyone's like, episode one doesn't work. But you know what I think is worse than episode one?
Episode two?
Episode two is worse than episode one.
Anakin, see an orthodontist because I am your father.
I hate episode two. Episode one has redeeming factors in it. Because I think that episode one, you got...
The cool lightsaber fight. Cool Duel lightsaber. Of Fates is an awesome song.
You got the song.
I will say, at least I can sit through episode one.
Like, as goofy and stupid and disjointed and dumb and poorly written, poorly acted as it is, it's a terrible disappointment, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's memorable.
Plus, in what year was it? 99?
Yeah.
Special effects are pretty damn impressive.
They were. There are positives to episode one. I know it's a terrible movie, but God, I remember everything about it. Like, because it's so damn memorable. Like, you'll never forget seeing episode. It's almost like watching The Room. Because no, think about it though. Because like, you watch episode one and you're like, that was awful, but I'll never forget seeing it. Does anyone remember anything from episode two if you haven't watched it in a while?
The Boba Fett was in it. It was raining for a bit.
No, Boba was in it.
Yeah, he was a little kid. He was a clone. Kid. He was a clone
little,
kid.
Little clone kid.
Little yeah. baby Boba Fett.
No, it's like I was saying earlier before we even started recording. I couldn't tell you a single thing from episode two before looking into it.
Yeah.
And I've seen the movie at least a couple times when I was a child. I can't remember anything from it.
Episode two is a train wreck.
So what? Okay, so episode one, I guess.
Episode one had its problems. It came out. George Lucas. Hold on.
Oh, that's a double.
Said, maybe I blew it this time around. Mm-hmm. I'll fix it next time.
And you know what? I think the
then he took his notes from the first movie and just threw them directly into the fire and didn't learn a damn thing from anything.
I think the whole world looked at episode one as, all right, I guess they were trying to set up some kind of backstory and establish something. And everyone kind of had high hopes for episode two. There's no more kid. There's going to be a romance. That's kind of cool. We saw romance in the original trilogy.
Hey, look, Anakin has like a Jamaican braid now.
Yeah. Oh, he looks... He's played by a good-looking guy. The kinda. Girl's good-looking. Obi-Wan's got the trademark beard.
Jar Jar's a minimal part.
Jar Jar's barely in the damn thing. I think I see a stormtrooper.
There's a guy
there.
Who kind of looks like Boba Fett.
Yeah. Hey, look, that might be Boba Fett. Ooh, I see more lightsabers. The trailer had Darth Vader breathing. You're like, all right. Maybe this will be Star Wars. And I'd like to quote directly from the film. I hate sand. It is so coarse and rough. I like things over here where it's smooth.
All right, I have an idea.
Rub shoulder.
What if we get...
No, he wasn't even rubbing her shoulder. He was rubbing her back.
Yeah.
Because she had like the open back.
Dress too. What?
This gave me an idea.
Okay.
50 Shades of Padme. We got to team them up. Georgie and what's her name?
Anastasia?
No. The guy from, you know, You Spin Me Right Round that wrote the books.
What?
Who?
The guy who sang the song, You Spin Me Right Round.
Oh, the guy that's like slowly turning into a pumpkin?
Yeah. They wrote the Twilight. No. The 50 Shades books.
Oh, E.L. James.
Oh, that's a throwback to another podcast where we had said that E.L. James looks like the singer from Dead or Alive.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and watch all the podcasts.
Yeah,
rewatch and then come
all
back.
Of the podcasts that are not affiliated with this
if
podcast.
If you're a real fan, you'll rewatch all of them.
Yes.
In order
to get paid more.
As they were intended.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. Start with the 50 Shades podcast and watch everything up
and
to
go
there,
backwards
and then go back and watch everything before that is actually the way that I had envisioned the podcast
30 years ago differently.
Oh, I felt totally differently about this 30 years ago. But now if I were to
anyway, getting back on track, I think George's writing skills are about equivalent to hers. I think they could come up with a really exceptionally selling space erotic novel.
I can say more often than not, E.L. James probably has done more than one draft in her life.
True.
Probably. I don't think George has done more than one draft ever.
I'm starting to wonder if he even knows how to read.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So what did you think about when they announced the title for the movie, Attack of the Clones? Because that does not sound like a Star Wars title.
Okay. I knew that they were going to do something with the clones. Okay. How old? I must have been like, so if I was 7 when the first one came out, I must have been 9 by this point. And I think, I remember seeing episode one for the first time. I was with my dad. We saw it in the mall, Bridgewater Mall, very, very, very late. And we left as the mall was closing. I was so amped about it. and I saw the second one with my neighbor. The kid's name was Aaron. I can't remember the kid's last name. He was a couple years older than me. Saw it with him. We go in there. It's too many George Lucas mentions. So we go in there, and we're like hyped as all hell. And I will never forget leaving the movie theater. Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, was the first movie I ever left the movie theater going, that was a bad movie.
Did not answer his question.
What was the question?
His question was, did you know how to do it with the clones?
The title, Attack of the Clones.
Come on, shape up.
Stop mentioning George Lucas and I can think straight.
Who? So,
you blew it.
I'm blowing it.
So let me answer your question.
Okay.
I saw the original trilogy when I was younger, before the other trilogy came out.
Yeah, I was pretty familiar with the original trilogy.
Princess Leia in the first movie, the fourth movie, says, you helped my father during the Clone Wars.
And Obi-Wan
says it as well.
Yeah, Luke says it. He said, you fought with my father in the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like the Clone Wars line that was thrown in there.
It was
a throwaway line, like, mm-hmm. Clone Wars, that'll be cool.
Yeah, that sounds neat.
Yeah,
and then
Clone Wars.
Then George, anyway, he who shall not be named says, oh, I have to make an entire trilogy based on, you know, three words, the Clone Wars.
But it's really not, though. It's the trilogy isn't based on the Clone Wars. It's based on getting Anakin Skywalker into Darth Vader. That's really what it is.
Okay, so back to your title question.
Attack of the Clones.
I was okay with the title because I was like, all right, they're going to explain what the Clone Wars were. Never in my life did I think the clones would be the Stormtroopers. What a terrible idea. Because in the original trilogy, the Stormtroopers are not clones. And I don't even care if that's supposed to be canon or not. They're not clones. They're different size. They're different heights. They have different voices, different personalities. You can hear them. They're not the same person. And I think the point is that, like, by the time the fourth movie rolls around, they're not clones anymore. Well, that's never explained.
Yeah, what happened there?
Like, that's
at the end of episode 3, they still have the clones.
They're all clones. All Boba Fett, Jango Fett clones.
Yeah.
So, what the hell is going on? If you're going to go back in time and make a trilogy, right, based on three established movies, make them fit the goddamn movies. This doesn't make any sense. All right, so Attack of the Clones comes out. And I remember seeing it in the movie theater, completely disappointed, completely pissed off.
I was bored.
I was so bored. And by the time that the big action-y blue screen lightsaber fights were happening,
it was too late.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I didn't care by that point. That was the most boring movie I ever sat through in my life. And I've sat through some boring films.
The love story didn't get you?
That was really boring, and my mom watches English films.
Has she seen The English Patient?
I beg your pardon?
The English Patient?
The English Patient. You ever heard that movie with Ralph Fiennes?
No, I haven't heard of it.
No?
I probably slept through it.
It won Best Picture back in 1995.
90 what?
Five. Okay.
I almost feel like George Lucas saw that movie and went, oh, you know what? I need a romance. Like, the problem with... Okay, so I'm not opposed to a romance in Star Wars. I'm not opposed to the idea of Anakin Skywalker falling in love and turning to the dark side because he's seduced by the fact that he can't save his wife or whatever bullshit they're going for. I'm not turned off to that idea. What I am turned off to is...
I hate sand.
It's all so right, sandy. Let's compromise, all right? What if he who shall not be named, the dark one...
The dark... No, he's pretty gray now.
The Gray Lord.
The Gray Lord.
Gray Matter.
Georgie Jorge. The Gray. What if he handles all the sci-fi stuff, and then E.L. James writes all the love stuff? Yeah, pretty good selling thing.
Then they'll have no chemistry at all.
Because then Anakin will be stalking Padme. And
do they have toast
biting
in
her
space?
Toast. She'll be biting her tongue.
Space
and
toast.
No, they just eat fruit. Remember, that's all they eat in
space.
Oh
my god,
fruit.
He's floating the fruit across the goddamn table.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the scene where I gave up on Star Wars
it was
forever.
CG fruit.
He's like, and he's Master Obi-Wan would be very grumpy. Like, that's the line.
Why did they even end up on Tatooine? I don't remember.
Because they were hiding because of... Okay, so there was an assassination attempt on Padme.
Where fucking Obi-Wan just jumps out the window after this stupid robot that's like releasing worms onto her.
Yeah, the robot doesn't shoot her or anything. Just
no. Why wouldn't it just shoot her?
Just no. Release these leeches that are gonna go onto her and
like she sleeps in a bedroom on the busiest planet
guys,
in the universe.
Guys,
with open windows.
Leeches eat peaches. And since all they eat is fruit, it's the perfect plan.
Not to mention, I don't even remember her name, the person trying to kill.
The shapeshifter?
The shapeshifter. I don't even remember her name. She
was a what now?
So the shapeshifter.
She was the one.
The ninja mask.
Yeah. Well,
and
not,
she puts.
Yeah.
So Jango, I'm just going to call him Boba Fett. So Boba Fett, I don't fucking care.
He kills her. I remember that.
Boba Fett gives this lady with the scarf over her face.
He hires her to kill
Padme. By giving her centipede worms
to
take it, put in a robot. The robot goes to her open blind window where R2-D2 is standing guard.
He did a scan of the room. Apparently not the
fine,
windows.
Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah.
Wait. I'm having trouble here. So could you just walk me through this?
Okay.
So someone, let's assume Palpatine probably, hires Jango.
Boba Fett. We're calling him Boba Fett. I don't give a fuck.
To kill Padme. And in turn, he hires someone else with leeches.
And gives her the leeches, the worm things with the legs.
To kill her.
So it was his idea.
Yeah.
So basically, he's a middleman. He was hired to do something. He hired someone else to do it for him.
Okay.
And
then
she blows it.
Yeah.
And she's a shapeshifter now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, even though, isn't she doing something to make her look human, though?
Because yeah,
she's a lizard, though, right?
And you can see her scales. And then when Boba Fett shoots her, like, she turns back into this monster-looking thing and dies. But, like, okay, so...
It's like, why does she need a mask if she's a shapeshifter?
So the fact that she's a shapeshifter, right, could be a cool idea. So I'm Boba Fett, and I'm going to hire this shapeshifting woman to, like, turn into anybody and kill the senator, which is what... Oh, she's a senator at this point, right?
Yes. Yeah, she's been demoted.
She's been
She demotes every
Who
movie.
Who cares? The political status of these characters means nothing.
In a fictional universe.
So, all right. So Boba Fett hires the shapeshifter to kill Padme in her sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool idea. I'm a shapeshifter. I'm going to shapeshift into Anakin, walk right in, shoot her in the face, and walk out. Right? Wouldn't that be just cool? No. The fact that this character is a shapeshifter is completely irrelevant to the plot at all.
Wait, I have an even better plan. She turns into a peach, and Anakin force levitates the peach to Padme. Then she promptly changes into a giant monster and eats Padme.
What's the rules of this shapeshifter? Like,
I don't know.
Like, I know I'm hung up on this, but like, it's so minor that why even include it?
We only see her shapeshift into this woman. That's all we see. We don't know if she can do anything.
Change.
Maybe
that
she's just really ugly.
I don't know, but the whole point is that she sends robot.
She sends a robot with worms in it.
Wait. She doesn't do the worms. She sends a okay. So Boba Fett
hires the changeling.
From the beginning.
Okay.
Palpatine
hires
Boba Fett.
Well, I think Palpatine hired Dooku, hired Boba Fett.
Oh, for Christ's sake!
So
Palpatine has
Dracula.
He has Dooku on his side.
Yes,
and so Dooku then hires Boba Fett, and then he hires the shapeshifter,
who then
commissions a robot to kill Padme.
With worms!
With worms.
Yes.
With fucking worms!
All right, you got it now?
I think I got it.
Okay.
So this robot shows up to her house, or apartment, or hotel room.
It's more of a hotel room,
cuts a hole in the window, the perfect size of these worms, and slips the worms into the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, R2-D2, who's a robot that doesn't need to sleep, is sleeping. R2-D2 wakes up, scans the room for a second, and goes back to sleep. Now, keep in mind, this is a senator that was already tried to be assassinated at the beginning
earlier
of
the movie. That's right. Yep.
So you think there'd be like around-the-clock guards and hundreds of other robots at the window that don't need to sleep, protecting this woman.
Just a robot and two Jedis.
Just who are standing outside talking about the fact that Anakin's like, I really want to bang this chick. And Obi-Wan's like, you just can't.
Don't be gay, bro.
He's telling him, like, don't be impulsive. You got to think about what you're doing.
Yeah, listen, Anakin.
You have to wrap your package two times.
He's like, Anakin, don't make any crazy decisions. Make sure that everything you do, you think about and you calculate and you don't do anything stupid that could possibly hurt you or the senator.
Or your legs and face.
Okay. That's important to remember.
Yes, it's very important. So then,
Anakin
has
a feeling.
He senses something's wrong.
There's worms.
He didn't say specifically. He just knows something's wrong.
And then Obi-Wan goes, I feel it too. You didn't feel it when the robot was cutting a hole in the wall?
No, just when
second is where they felt it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then they come into the room. Anakin takes out his lightsaber and cuts these worms up on top of her.
Yeah, precision.
Precision cuts these worms in half. And she's like, the lightsaber's like right here against her nose. Mm-hmm. Then Obi-Wan sees the robot and non-impulsively throws himself out of a window.
Jumps out the window on top of the robot and rides it all the way back to wherever it's going, back right, to
so
the
So here's the questions I have about
person,
that.
The shapeshifter.
A, how did Obi-Wan know that the robot could support his weight? B, how did Obi-Wan know where the robot was going? C, how did Obi-Wan know he'd actually be able to grab onto the robot and not just fall directly to his death?
Honestly, yeah. At this point, you're grasping at straws.
No, I'm not.
This he may just say, no,
it's because
the why the fuck did any of this just happen?
The scene before, he literally says, do not make rash decisions. And then
jumps out a window.
Jumps out a window and makes a rash decision.
The most rash decision of the entire six movies.
I don't know. I think blowing up the Death Star is a pretty rash decision.
That was thought out.
Yeah, that was planned. They had their attack strategy. An idea.
Versus, ooh, robot, jump out window of this 2,000-story building. So then when they partake in the most unrealistic chase, I mean, ever.
Yeah, so then they get into, Anakin, I guess, steals a speeder. Is it even his? I don't know. And
he's a great pilot, and he was a good pilot and a good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a great friend.
Yeah, whatever.
And then he finds Obi-Wan. They go into the nightclub. And
okay, the only good part of this entire movie
the guy who offers him the drugs.
Okay, so that scene, I think, if you could take out everything else from that movie and stick that scene in a different Star Wars movie, I mean, that was so funny. Yeah. Like, hey, you want to buy some death sticks? No, you don't want to sell me no death sticks. I don't want to sell you some death sticks. You want to go home and rethink your life. I want to go home and rethink my life. That's so good that I don't think Jorge had anything to do with it.
And then they recreate the same scene from episode 4.
Literally the same scene. Or, yeah, episode 4.
Pretty much the same. And cuts her arm off.
Yep.
And then just gingerly walks her out.
Yeah. And he's like, Jedi business. Nothing to see here.
Okay.
Jedi business?
It's like, you're assuming...
What the hell is Jedi business? Yeah,
you're assuming all these people know who the Jedis are.
Yeah, and that, don't worry about the fact that we're, like, killing this person in a bar.
He's got a children's braid. He must be a Jedi.
Jedi business. Back to your drinks. Fuck you. Yeah. No, I want to know what just happened.
And
that would never fly in, like, not Star Wars prequel land.
Yeah, can you imagine that in Baltimore? Police business, get out of here.
Hey, don't worry about it. Just some police
stuff. Jedi business. Go down there and say this is Jedi business.
The changelings riot and destroy Coruscant. Oh.
And then that's when they try to get information out of the shapeshifter, and then Boba Fett kills her by sending a dart at her. But then why couldn't he just shoot the Jedis?
Yeah, but then he just flies away.
And then he just flies away.
And then Obi-Wan, instead of jumping on top of this flying Boba Fett, decides...
Boba Fett, he can't jump on top of him. Boba Fett's like on the other side.
This is the man who I don't care what he says. This is the man who just we watch impulsively jump out a window at a robot. And we just saw this in crazy impractical speeder chase.
Mm-hmm.
We watch the thing that, who are you working for? Why are you trying to kill the senator? This thing dies. Then we watch Boba Fett kill it. And they go,
I guess we'll get to that later.
I guess we'll deal with that
later. But first,
later.
Let's find out what this dart is.
Yeah. So we go to a diner.
No, that's right. I forgot.
Oh, my God. Do you remember this scene, Chris?
No.
Oh, my God. So they go to a 1950s diner. I can't make this up. And the fat Italian chef.
With four arms.
Is a weapons expert.
Let's not go to Yoda or any of the other Jedis.
Let me go to this diner I like to go to.
And ask an Italian man what the weapon is.
Yeah, hey, what's this? He's like, Camino. Which... Now, keep in mind, there's like two plots going on here. There's Obi-Wan trying to figure out from this diner chef what this dart is. And then there's Anakin and Padme having the most ridiculous, like, romance story.
Well, after...
She's like 5 years older than him.
That's okay.
Yeah. But after the assassination attempt, that's when they specifically have Anakin look over Padme. They send them on what I guess seems like a vacation almost.
Yeah, pretty much they just pay for them to go to Naboo. And basically they go to France because there's a space gondola.
Well, and these two young kids just, no, nothing should happen.
So he's angry and horny, and there's like a death threat against her. She's been tried to be killed like 6 times in this movie already. Send them off by themselves with a slow-moving robot.
Yeah.
We're going to stay here and figure out where this dart came from. Oh, no, I know where the dart came from. It came from Boba Fett. Go after him. He flew right over there.
Honestly, I don't remember the movie in like cohesive plot. I just remember scenes. So it starts off...
You don't remember the scene in the diner?
No, I remember them fighting a robot or something. And then they're on the rain planet with the clones.
Oh, okay, God. So...
Wait, all right, so once he talks to the diner person...
Yeah, he leads... Because apparently he knows about the clones somehow.
No, the little kid found out about the clones.
Bought them or something.
Yeah, oh, no, it wasn't...
What?
It wasn't...
They were like, Qui-Gon ordered these like 10 years ago. And they're like, oh?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think it was Qui-Gon. I think it was someone else.
Count Dooku actually did it, but they said it was Qui-Gon because he was dead or something.
Something like that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes to this planet, and they're like, oh, good, the Jedi, you're here. He's like, yeah, I am. And they're like, oh, okay, well, here's all the clone army that you ordered. And he's like, oh,
I should check this out.
Guess I ordered this clone army.
Like, oh, well, Qui-Gon ordered them. Oh, well, Qui-Gon, the guy who's dead, has never done anything wrong in his whole life.
So let's just take... So then Obi-Wan goes back to Coruscant and is like, hey, these fucking long-neck aliens on a rain planet created this entire clone army. And that's as I was leaving, Boba Fett tried to kill me. Okay.
Also, they're all clones of the guy trying to kill the queen senator.
Oh, God, this is a bad move. Oh my God!
Common knowledge at that point.
Like that,
he met Boba Fett.
Yeah, no, he knew who he was.
Yeah, and he's like, "Here's my son, Boba Fett. Boba Fett, meet Boba Fett." It's like, "All right, cool. It's Boba Fett." So, like, it was common knowledge. Like, okay, so you're the guy trying to kill the senator, but you're also been cloned about 20 billion times to create a stormtrooper army, which we want to use
for what?
To fight the robots.
But they don't even know about the robots yet.
Yeah, they all know the robots.
They kind of
do.
They're in episode
one.
Like,
oh yeah, the Trade Federation. First off, you can skip episode one altogether.
But at this point, to get
to this plot.
Yeah, but I thought
it's irrelevant.
I thought the whole point of the robots were is that Count Dooku and the bugs were making them over on the other planet.
Wait, who owns the robots?
I don't know. Well, the Viceroy owns.
What the hell's a Viceroy?
That's the Asian robot that really stereotype. He's like, oh, we don't know who the Jedi are.
He's not a robot.
The first movie. That's the Viceroy.
But he works
for the bugs and
Palpatine.
Dooku, who works for Palpatine. Keep in mind, Darth Maul really... All right, realistically, backing up a second, this is why Darth Maul shouldn't have died. We don't know anything about Count Dooku at this point.
Except that he's old and probably smells like ginger ale.
And he was Qui-Gon's...
And he has a curved lightsaber.
He was Qui-Gon's mentor. Yeah, he was Qui-Gon.
Was he?
Yeah, and Yoda was his mentor.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the chain there. So, So Count Dooku and the bugs and the Viceroy from the first one are making more robots. To do what with? We don't quite know yet.
Trade regulate.
Probably. So then now the Republic, which is owned by the peaceful Jedi, which I guess at this point are like war generals, have the clone army, but they didn't know they had it. So, hey, look, a whole army of clones.
There's a Senate with E.T. on there.
Oh, that's true, actually. E.T. was in the first movie.
And
you don't know this?
No, I have heard that.
Okay, yeah. They George Lucas was trying to be clever and threw in E.T., which means that the Star Wars universe is the same as E.T.
So let me try to wrap my brain around this. So we have the Galactic Senate, which are senators from every planet in one governing body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they control the trade regulations?
Yes.
No.
No?
Who's responsible for the trade stuff?
The Trade Federation.
Is a different entity?
Is its own entity.
But I thought that they...
Why do they get to decide who trades corn for wheat?
We're not playing Settlers of Catan. And it's sheep. You got to trade sheep and rocks for wheat.
Oh, Lord. I thought every decision on the trade regulation goes through...
Why the hell did the Senate vote on anything?
Because they let the crazy monster man take over. Well, Jar Jar... Okay.
That's right.
Jar Jar.
Someone draw
Binks,
a pie chart.
No. Jar Jar Binks authorizes the use of the clones.
That's correct. Yeah, because he's
in charge while she's on
vacation, hiding out,
banging Anakin.
Yeah, that's right.
So
typical leaders.
Yeah, she's off. Her and Anakin are off getting it.
She's got her cabana boy, and she doesn't even care.
No, she don't even care. So they're off on romance planet, right? And then they put the fucking rabbit in charge, mm-hmm. and the rabbit authorizes the use of the clones.
Who's the rabbit?
Jar Jar.
Oh.
Okay. So, and then how? Okay. How,
this still, whole, no, this
I'm
whole
still
movie,
hung up on who owns the Trade Regulation Federation.
The Trade Federation is its own entity that operates in.
They just decide who trades what for what?
I guess. Well, they were able to cut off space supplies to Naboo for one day in the first one that caused a crisis that everyone was dying, we never see anybody die.
And they did. We never saw anyone in Naboo.
No, I don't care about Naboo. Naboo can blow. We blew up Alderaan, and I care more about that. I didn't even see that.
Okay, here's a question. How come they didn't take place on Alderaan?
Well, it was already an established planet.
An established planet where Princess Leia is from.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense.
A lot more sense than Naboo, where she's not from.
Yeah, and then we would have actually had some sort of emotion going into 4 when they blow up Alderaan.
Yeah, we'd have known more about the planet we'd only heard of.
This is making too much sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Someone write a letter to the gray-bearded one.
Okay, so, by the way, during this whole little vacation period with the two of them, Anakin's mother...
Oh, gets kidnapped by sand people.
She's kidnapped and raped by the sand people.
I guess she's not a virgin anymore.
So she's kidnapped and raped multiple times.
Anakin, I guess he has a dream about it. So he
kind of.
So he leaves Padme to go over there.
And he.
He murders.
Brutally murders.
The children.
Yes.
Mike slaughtered them. So it's at this point that Anakin uses the word hate.
Yes.
Which has been established in this universe as like, if you're a Jedi, you can't say that.
Hate is the F word.
So pretty much Padme's like, oh, you poor thing because you're pretty.
Yeah, it's like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
No, he just admitted he hates these things.
And murdered
them. Like, it's time to call up Obi-Wan and be like, you got to take him home. Like, look, it has been fun and shit, and sleeping with him has been great, but, like,
call his parents.
Well, you can't. He doesn't have a father, and his mom's raped and dead.
Well, we're not even sure if they actually banged in episode 2.
Oh, they banged.
Well, because, I mean, she's kind of hesitant. She's like, I'm a senator. This is wrong.
Oh, my, that dialogue is bad.
Politicians never do anything immoral.
You're a Jedi, and I'm a senator. He's like, shut up.
That's what it's like on the Plank Review. It's like they talk about how, you know, Jedis are not allowed to marry yet, you know, because that could cloud their judgment. While at the same time, Obi-Wan throughout the entire movie is just yelling at people and angry.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's like this angry motherfucker the whole time.
Because he ain't getting none.
You were the chosen one. Well, yeah, because
he's
not banging
Padme. Jedi just impregnate people with the Force, which I guess is easier.
So is it safe to assume, because we never see a sex scene between Padme and Anakin, so I guess it's safe to assume
obviously at some point they have to have sex.
No. Well, I mean, they did get married at the end.
Of the second one, yeah. And C-3PO's there.
And said nothing.
And R2.
Yeah. All right, so all this crazy plot. Now, at this point, the movie's boring. It's basically the Power Rangers Turbo of movies. Nothing has happened at this point. Because at this point, we don't care about the characters. They're banging on Naboo. He's fighting Boba Fett with the dart. And there's tall aliens. And there's clones. So and it's like, what does this lead up to?
All
where
this
are we
crazy
going from here?
Random shit happens. And then at the end, a bunch of characters that we don't know fight a bunch of robots that we don't care about. Boba Fett gets his head cut off by Mace Windu.
Who we don't know anything about nor care about.
And they fight in a gladiatorial pit that made no sense.
Yep.
Speaking of Mace Windu, the entire prequel trilogy, he keeps talking about this prophecy.
That, well, it changes halfway through, doesn't it? It's like, you're supposed to bring balance to the Force, and then you're supposed to destroy the Sith.
Yeah, but...
But, like, what were you... Anakin is, like, Jesus.
Who wrote the prophecy?
George Lucas!
That's the only logical explanation to me, but, like... I don't. What is this prophecy? I don't understand. Like,
what does it mean? Like,
and why is Mace Windu the only one talking about it?
Well, that's another thing too.
How come he gets the purple lightsaber? I want a purple lightsaber.
If he's supposed to destroy the Sith, but he said that the Sith have been extinct for like 1,000 years, so what do they need this kid to destroy the Sith and bring balance to the Force? It seems pretty balanced.
Because Grievous is not Grievous. Well, hold Palpatine's on. Running. Or no, wait. Okay, Palpatine's Sith name is
Sidious.
Sidious.
That's a cool Sith name too.
It sounds like Insidious.
Darth Sidious.
So he's running around with his bad teeth, and they knew this the whole time, right?
Well, they can sense. No, they don't know it's Palpatine, although...
They're looking...
Because when Darth Maul gets killed, they're like, is he the apprentice or the master? Because they just assume there are two of them.
Mm-hmm. Because they know that there's still a Sith Lord out there, but they don't know who it is. I mean, why would they think it's Palpatine?
No, why would
anyone think that? It makes no sense.
He's done nothing to make them think it could be him.
No, he just manipulated everybody to get in positions of power.
Exactly.
The whole goddamn
like a good
movie.
Politician.
He's basically the Dick Cheney of space. So we get to this gladiatorial pit. Everyone fights, and then somehow they get separated, and then they decide to go fight Dracula.
C-3PO gets his head removed somehow.
That's a scene we need to talk about. So you're telling me that R2-D2...
Evan is now pacing around the room frantically.
So you're telling me that R2-D2 has had rockets this entire fucking time? You're telling me R2-D2 can fly?
Basically.
Hey, you know what would have helped with the leeches? If R2-D2 flew and zapped them with his taser?
Or just paid attention.
Hey, you know how many times I could probably think that like R2-D2 flying would have probably come in handy throughout any of those movies?
Does anyone find it weird that a robot can be negligent?
Also, R2-D2's mind was not wiped at the end of episode 3.
No.
So he knew everything that happened.
How hard would it be to program
thing.
The damn thing to speak English?
Ready? Beep, boop, boop, pop. Oh, I, C-3PO, have now heard everything that is important about this. Luke, Vader's your father. Your mother was, though we'll never mention her again, even though she's the central, she's the MacGuffin of this entire goddamn prequel trilogy, but we'll never mention her again in the
sequels. And nor will your father.
Nor will your father. Oh, I was seduced by the dark side. Oh, you mean to save your dying wife and your unborn children?
Uh-huh.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that was the whole plot and we're not going to mention that? Where was I? R2-D2 just couldn't be able to fly. That's stupid. So then C-3PO gets his head cut off, replaced with the battle droid. That's stupid. So then a bunch of stupid
he didn't even
things.
Use his guns to help anyone.
Yeah. Fuck you, R2-D2. So stupid things happen. They beat off all the bugs and the robots.
Literally beat them off.
Ew.
It was quite graphic.
That's in the extended...
Again, E.L. James crossover.
That's in the extended cut. So then they go and they fight Dracula and lose really bad.
Then he grabbed my Lubar.
Well, he...
Oh, that would have been good.
Cuts off Anakin's hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the old decrepit man cuts off the hand of the guy with the
the most powerful Jedi.
And not to mention, he has two lightsabers at this point.
That was a stupid
scene. Obi-Wan threw him his.
And now here comes, I think, the stupidest part of the movie. They should not have given Yoda a lightsaber.
He's breakdancing around the room.
Look, the thing that was always cool about Yoda is he was this little tiny puppet. Oh, he's CG in this movie, which sucks. So, like, he's, like, this little tiny puppet thing that, like, you would never assume is powerful. But that's the proof of the Force is you don't need to be able to flip around with lightsabers to use it wisely and move objects and control your will and have hundreds of years of wisdom. Nah, fuck that. Let's give him a lightsaber and have him bounce around the room. Wouldn't that be cool?
And not only is he bouncing around the room, he's bouncing around with a 90-year-old man.
Yeah, and the 90-year-old man is keeping up.
So basically now what we're watching is the equivalent of that kid in the that YouTube video where he's spinning around with a lightsaber.
You ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're watching the old man's version of that. Keep in mind now they're just going to animate a small green midget jumping around him. Like, this is becoming a problem.
Like, this is stupid. So then I think at this point, George Lucas... said, I guess it's time to end this movie. Kind of just ends. I mean, like...
They get married, and that's
they
it.
They get married, and then that's it.
He's got a robot hand.
Yeah, the creepy robot hand.
Yeah, it looks like the Terminator.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Like, yeah, it remember does. In the second Terminator where they got the hand in the glass case?
Or even the first one at the end when he's reaching for her. Yeah.
It's coming. Yeah. So anyway, I think that wrapping that up.
And Count Dooku escapes.
Count Dooku escapes. But
somehow.
Why? Because he dies in the next one in the first 10 minutes. All right. So hold on.
So we can all agree the second one was the worst movie of all time.
Worst Star Wars movie of all time. Yeah, worst movie of all time is 50 Shades of Grey.
Again, a really promising crossover.
By the way, Attack of the Clones. Did these clones ever attack? They were defensive. They were.
What would they have attacked?
They attacked at the end. They came in on their stupid flying ships with Yoda.
But they were defending the Jedi.
Who was like, hey, these clones are a bad idea, but I'm going to use them instead of everyone else.
Attack applies that the clones became self-aware.
They're like evil.
And started attacking people.
That doesn't happen to the third one.
And even that's just code 66.
How do I get to that number?
And even the first one, the Phantom Menace. What is the Phantom Menace?
I actually like that title.
But what does it mean?
Oh, I think it means Palpatine. He's the Phantom Menace.
I was going to say Darth Maul because he didn't have any lines like a phantom.
He's menacing people?
No, but like...
menacing people from afar.
It's in the title of the first one. There's no villain of this movie. Like, that's what it says.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hey, Phantom Menace, there's no villain.
We don't... There's a problem, but we don't know where it's coming from.
We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know what's going on. Nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's implied in the title.
The script was written by a monkey.
I'll drink because you mentioned George Lucas.
That's close enough.
So I think by the second one, I think everyone was pissed off. I think... This is when we realize, like, okay, this wasn't like a one-time deal. This is bad.
And even if, let me just throw this in, probably out of time, but Anakin's character was whiny and annoying.
You know what? I think that's a good thing to talk about, actually, because here's Darth Vader. Now, when I look at Darth Vader, I see this man who had, like, seen some real tough shit and, like, was just lost it and now is just the epitome of evil. When I see Anakin in episode 2, like episode 1, I give a pass because he's a little kid, like whatever. But episode 2, like I don't see struggle and pain and torment. I see a horny teenager.
Well, like all those plot points that don't make any sense by themselves makes the movie terrible. But what made it unforgivable to me is that the whole time you have Anakin. Obi-Wan's a big dickhead.
Yeah, I don't like Obi-Wan. He tells me to do things.
My mommy got killed.
I love you, but I can't control it. Like, dude. Like, I just
one told me what an erection was.
Like,
Jedi school.
I just feel like
They introduced Jedi school in episode 2.
Oh, God. With the little kids with the little mini lightsabers.
And
how dangerous
and
is
they're,
that?
And they're all right next to each other. Yeah, so any
like, they're
one
just
of
swinging
them just...
back and forth. Look, I think that, I don't know if it was bad casting or bad writing or both, but that's not Anakin Skywalker. Anakin should be, in episode 2 at least at that point, like a strong-willed,
friend
smart,
of Obi-Wan.
Kind friend of, oh yeah, this great friendship. He was a good friend. Let's see. When is that mentioned? Oh, in the elevator ride up to the Senator's hotel
Remember
room.
All these adventures we were on?
Man, little love to see a movie about that. That sounds like a great movie.
But instead, we
got the bugs and the old man.
Yeah.
Star Wars and the Adventures of the Old Man with Bugs.
I like after seeing episode 2, the quote that I had coming back as a 9-year-old boy was, they might as well just called it Love Wars and it was boring.
More like Love Sucks.
Oh God, that movie sucks. Like I think episode 2 gets looked over about how bad it really is because everyone focused on episode 1. And episode 1's a train wreck, but I mean, it's
memorable.
At least
it was fun.
And there's a culture around episode 1. Like I remember the hype. The hype of episode 1 was like an important part of my life. You know what I mean? Like they had those Pepsi cans with the characters on them. Like episode 1 was a big mystery. It was a lot of fun. It's a terrible movie. It holds up terribly, but at the time.
Well, see, I disagree. I think it holds up better than the other two.
I think it holds up better than the other two as well. But it's not Star Wars. It's some weird, bad sci-fi. Like, that's all that it really is. It's like, it's just a bad science fiction.
Yeah, by itself, it might have been... I mean, if it wasn't stuck to the Star Wars canon, you probably would have enjoyed it more. At least just forgotten about it.
I think I agree with that. Episode 1 we're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
Because episode 2 to me is where it gets unforgivable. Episode 2 is like where you broke the movies.
Because
now you've introduced Hayden Christensen. You've introduced God, the clones are, the stormtroopers are all clones, and Yoda has a lightsaber.
The villains are robots, a cold, like, emotionless thing you can't really hate.
Like, what's the point? What are we getting at here? Like, what? Where's the Luke Skywalker of this movie? Where's the character I can relate to? I can't relate to Anakin Skywalker. The
closest thing, I wasn't hitting puberty yet. I didn't know what a vagina was.
The closest. I still don't. What are you talking about?
The closest thing to a relatable character we had was Obi-Wan, but even that, it's like...
All right, the one...
He was a dink the whole time.
Yeah, it's like everything was under his nose the entire time, and he couldn't figure anything out for himself.
These prequels should have been Obi-Wan's story. Yeah. They should have been. And then they passed it on, and then in episode 4 he dies, and it passes over to Luke's story, which is what I think they're going to do with episode 7, is like... My feeling is that Luke is going to die in episode 7. They're going to pass it on to the new characters like that. Mm. And I think that would be appropriate, just like 4. But I don't understand why this movie is about Darth Vader, because he's not the central character of the original 3. He's actually a secondary character. He's the villain who you find out more about, and then he gets a redemption. It's not, he's not important enough of a character in that story. I almost, and I've said this for a couple of years now, I don't consider the prequels canon. Mm. I actually don't, because... they don't match those movies at all.
I don't think you can pick and choose.
I can. I mean, I don't know about you.
You can. I don't think it means anything.
It doesn't mean shit, but I'm saying it. Okay, so Anakin's character is a big mistake. It was bad casting and bad writing, but on the flip side...
I think more so writing.
Okay, but on the flip
side... I've seen Hayden Christensen act in things that he wasn't terrible in.
Okay, like what? But...
okay, the movie Shattered Glass.
Never heard of it.
We're... okay, all right. He played the newspaper reporter, and he was actually very different from his character in the Star Wars movies. He was like kind of a little psychotic a bit.
So the exact same character.
he didn't kill anyone.
Oh well, thank the Lord.
Anyway,
but.
No,
yeah.
This is why I say it's bad casting, because I look at Ewan McGregor and I think that's great casting. Mm-hmm. Because I think Ewan McGregor looked, acted, sounded very much like Alec Guinness, and I believe that was a young Obi-Wan. Now, from a writing standpoint, it's terrible. The decisions he makes are terrible. He's stupid. He gets too angry. But the way he was acted, I think, was very close to the way Alec Guinness did. You have to commend Ewan McGregor. Not so much in the first one. But in the second and third one, you feel he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And not to mention, he's also standing on a blue screen looking at nothing while he's doing all this.
But the thing is, Ewan McGregor pulled it off. Like, I feel like if any of the actors in this movie had some sort of depth, kind of took what George was... George is a terrible director. Like, I'll drink, but... Many actors who have worked with George Lucas have said that he's not an actor's director. Like, he's not good at... Which is... tough when you're doing a quote-unquote character story about Darth Vader. So, like, but I feel like Ewan McGregor was like, I'm going to ignore the shitty direction here and do it the way I feels best and just kind of hope that everyone goes with it. And it worked. And I think that Ewan McGregor is a very good actor, but Hayden Christensen, I feel like, with no direction, just blew it.
Continue then part 2.